Trinada Pisuni Chena, Torar Iva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Iva Kibalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. Blessings on all my students who have come here. May Krishna fulfill all your good desires. I am dedicating today's class to the mother of Batuk Sharma. She is on her deathbed at this moment. So we will pray that Krishna protects her and puts her either at his lotus feet or, as equally good, in the next birth in the home of a pure devotee of Krishna. Let us chant one Maha Mantra for Batuk's mother. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, we will. Raju, let us chant one more. Raju, let's chant one more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're studying this Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we are studying the Adi Lila, chapter number 4, the confidential reasons for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there were confidential reasons and then external reasons. The external reasons for the appearance of Krishna as Lord Chaitanya was to deliver the Mahamantra to the people in general. Golokera Premadhana Harinam Sankirtan. Nowadays, too much is imported from China. Here's one thing not. Here is one thing imported from the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavan, the Hari Nam, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Lord Chaitanya imported this Maha Mantra and gave it to everyone. The Brahmin caste, the Smarta Brahmins in Navadvip, protested and went to the Muslim magistrate and said, this Gaura Hari, because that's one of his names, Gaura Hari, he is giving this Maha Mantra to the low class people. Therefore, the value of the mantra is decreasing. They were thinking it was a material commodity. When something is very easily available, price goes down. Now, what's happening? Oil, right? Iran is restricting its oil. Now, what's going to happen? Price goes up. And we're just pawns in the game. So the Brahmins were complaining that this Mahaprabhu Gaura Hari is giving this Mahamantra, the value will go down. That doesn't apply to transcendental or spiritual things. The Mahamantra is always the most valuable thing, regardless of the economy. So Lord Chaitanya distributed it to everyone. That's his external reason. Now in this chapter, we are studying his own personal, confidential, internal reasons why Krishna appeared. He's a person. He's entitled to having his own agenda. I have an agenda. We all have things that we want to do for personal reasons. You're entitled to that because you're an individual. God is too. So he's allowed his own personal internal reasons why he wants to come as Lord Chaitanya. He does two things at once. Paticca Pavana delivers the fallen conditioned souls, gives them a Maha Mantra, but he also has his own. That's what we're studying in this chapter. We left off at text number 2122. If you're ready to proceed, then repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Can I tell you how much I like giving this class here? Do you know how much I like you all? Words cannot express how much, you know, when I was on vacation for 2 weeks recuperating, I thought about you many times. And now I see one of the reasons why Krishna did that to me was to appreciate you. I learned to appreciate life itself. I learned nowadays when people say, Prabhu, how you doing? Happy to be alive. So, thank you for your association. Karibu. Jai, me too. Okay. So, right now, Krishna is speaking. Where we left off, Krishna is speaking. Okay, so text 21:22. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great, and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Now, just to understand where we're at right now, this statement by Krishna, he's referring to the extreme pure devotees, not ordinary devotees like me and you. We cannot artificially relate to Krishna in this way. Here he's talking about his associates, specifically either the gopis or his parents or his friends, people who have reached that stage, right? Those who have achieved that spiritual perfection, this is who he's referring to. We're not on that stage. Okay, let's read the purport. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, three kinds of devotional service are described, namely bhakti, ordinary devotional service, shuddha bhakti, pure devotional service, and vidha bhakti, mixed devotional service. So let's see if Prabhupada explains. When devotional service is executed with some material purpose involving fruitive activities, mental speculations, or mystic yoga, it is called mixed or adulterated devotional service. Besides bhakti yoga, the Bhagavad Gita also describes karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. Yoga means linking with the Supreme Lord, which is possible only through devotion. Fruitive activities, ending in devotional service. Philosophical speculation, ending in devotional service. And the practice of mysticism, ending in devotional service, are known respectively as karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. But such devotional service is adulterated by the three kinds of material activities. For those grossly engaged in identifying the body as the self, pious activity or karma yoga is recommended. For those who identify the mind with the self, philosophical speculation or jnana yoga is recommended. But devotees standing on the spiritual platform have no need of such material conceptions of adulterated devotion. Adulterated devotional service does not directly aim for a love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, service performed strictly in conformity with the revealed scriptures is better than such vidha bhakti because it is free from all kinds of material contamination. It is executed in Krishna consciousness solely to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are spontaneously voted to the Lord and have no aims for material gain are called attracted devotees. They are spontaneously attracted to the service of the Lord, and they follow in the footsteps of self-realized souls. Their pure devotion, Shuddha Bhakti, manifested from pure love of Godhead, surpasses the regulative principles of the authoritative scriptures. Sometimes loving ecstasy transcends regulative principles. Such ecstasy, however, is completely on the spiritual platform and cannot be imitated. The regulative principles help ordinary devotees rise to the stage of perfect love of Godhead. Pure love for Krishna is the perfection of pure devotion, and pure devotional service is identical with spontaneous devotional service. Flawless execution of regulative principles is exhibited in the Vaikuntha planets. By strictly executing these principles, one can be elevated to the Vaikuntha planets. But spontaneous, pure loving service is found in Krishna Loka alone. Before we go on, does anybody have a question so far on what you've read or heard? Is everything understandable from everybody? Can everybody chant the Maha Mantra one time, please? All right, now we'll go to the next verse, which is a nice quote from Srimad Bhagavatam. Please repeat after me. Mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam amrit tatvaya kalpate dishtyayad asin mat sneho bhavittinamad apana. Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. O my dear damsels of Raja, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have attained my favor. So, the gopis are the dear damsels of Raja. This verse, now quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, is very, very significant. So, notice the phrase, revives their eternal life. Right now, our eternal life is in a diseased condition. Why is that? Material body. Our real eternal life is not fully exhibited at this stage. When we are liberated, when we're in the kingdom of God, or when we are jivan mukta. Jivan mukta means you're living in this world, but you are completely liberated. Then your eternal life is revived. Eternal life means to be engaged in devotional service. That's what eternal life means. To be totally always engaged in some kind of service to Krishna. You've heard me say so many times, it's not that Mother Yashoda in Goloka Vrindavan is just sitting back, relaxing. She's working. She's in the kingdom of God, but she's working. But that work is totally blissful. Same thing. What I'm doing, this is work. It takes me an hour to set up. It takes me an hour to drive. But I won't give that up for any. In fact, the 2 weeks that I took off, I was thinking, I want to be back out there. I'm missing. So it's work, but that work is better than any other kind of enjoyment. So in the spiritual world, they're working, but it's pleasurable, it's blissful, and it increases at every step. So that's your eternal life, when you have a full-time service for Krishna. I always like to give the example of our priest, Gadadhar Prabhu. As long as he's engaged in serving the deity, doing kirtan, serving the congregation, he's in eternal life. If he doesn't do anything else, if he just does that, he's in eternal life. So as Krishna says, devotional service revives their eternal life. Eternal life also means no more birth and death. That's another connotation of eternal life. Eternal life means no more birth and death. Your affection for me is your good fortune. So if I want to bless somebody, Ashirvad, this is what I should bless. That you have affection for Krishna. Because what does Krishna say? Your affection for me is your good fortune. In fact, for a devotee of Krishna, there can be no better. You've heard me say many times. You try to offer Radharani any amount of money in replace of Krishna, what will she say? Go to hell. I throw thunderbolt, right? She's not going to give up Krishna for any reason. None. There's no circumstance she's going to give up Krishna. So, your good fortune is if you have some affection for Krishna. That's your good fortune. There's a nice statement by Prabhupada or Lord Chaitanya in this Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think it's Prabhupada. How does somebody know that they have been blessed by God? And the answer, if you know about God. Because it's the person who doesn't have any knowledge of God that is cursed. That person is condemned. But if you know about God, oh, you've been blessed. And then it depends how much do you know, how much you have realized. Then that means you have been blessed more. So knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya says, that's how you know you've been blessed by God. And I would say, my students, you've gotten that. Otherwise, you won't be here Sunday morning. There's lots of things you could be doing. But you've been blessed. And he says, it is only means for which you have attained my favor. Because the night of the rasa dance, what happened? What did Krishna do to test them? He left, didn't he? Didn't Krishna leave the night of the rasa? And then he returned. Okay? Also, you will see in the purport, this particular verse deals with the return of Krishna and reuniting with the gopis in Kurukshetra. But the same thing happened the night of the rasa dance. Krishna was watching the gopis hiding himself, right? And after they sang their gopi gita, then Krishna reappeared. And Krishna was explaining, it is only because you have so much love for me. I am controlled by that. I am conquered by that. Alright, let's look at Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Can everyone chant the Maha Mantra? Okay, pure devotional service is represented in the activities of the residents of Vrajabhumi or Vrindavan. During a solar eclipse, the Lord came from Dwaraka and met the inhabitants of Vrindavan at Samanta Panchaka. That Samanta Panchaka reminds me of Lord Parashuram. Lord Parashuram killed the Kshatriya kings 21 times. Kshatriya kings are supposed to be representatives of God. They're supposed to be that kind of king. But at the time of Parashuram, the Kshatriya kings were not true representatives of God. So Parashuram killed the Kshatriya race 21 times. And all the blood of those kings were collected in some lakes here at Samanta Panchaka. All right, let's continue. The meeting was intensely painful for the damsels of Vrajabhumi because Lord Krishna had apparently left them to reside at Dwaraka. Notice how Prabhupada uses the word apparently, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So even though Krishna appeared to have left Vrindavan to kill Kamsa, and then he married only, 16,000? 108 wives only? Drop in the bucket. It appeared that he was gone from Vrindavan, but Krishna was there in Vrindavan in his bhava expansion. What is that bhava expansion? The gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan had so much love and affection for Krishna that everything they did, everything they saw, reminded them of Krishna. And they spent the rest of their lives simply remembering. Because they were remembering Krishna, that remembrance of Krishna is as good as Krishna. That is the crux of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy of Vipralambha Seva. Service in separation, Lord Chaitanya teaches, is better than direct union. Now, for us, that's what? What do you say? It makes no sense. But once you have established your real relationship with Krishna, once that's fully established, when you are separated from Krishna, your feelings and love for Krishna will increase. And the whole thing is about love of God. That's what it's all about. On another point on this issue, we have this expression in the English language. Familiarity breeds contempt. And that is we're warned. Don't get like that with your spiritual master or Krishna. Familiarity breeds contempt means that when you have someone's association on a regular basis, you start to take that person for granted. Husband and wife have to be careful of this. That's why it's recommended husbands and wives should take some vacation together. Yes, together. So that they rekindle their appreciation for one another. So in terms of the spiritual master, don't get so familiar that you forget he's your spiritual master. Happens with children and their parents. It can happen. And sometimes the parents have to remind the child, hello, I'm the parent. You're the child. Because the parent is naturally affectionate. But the child may sometimes take advantage. So sometimes the parent has to pay. You know, don't take this for granted. We see that in materialistic families. The parents are giving, 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 giving. And if the child is spoiled rotten, then the child starts to expect. That's not good when we start expecting. No, there should be appreciation. So the same with Krishna, especially like a pujari. A pujari has to be careful of that also. A pujari is close up to the deity every day. So the pujari also has to not think and become too familiar. That's why there are sheets of mantras, a pujari chants before and after worshipping the deity, just to remind, hey, don't get so familiar. You have to keep in mind that this is the Supreme Personality of God. And you have to keep in perspective what is your position. You're the servant. So familiarity breeds contempt. So we're warned, keep in perspective who you're dealing with. Therefore, what's good for that is good for me. Therefore, I have to respect you, my audience. Vanchakalpa turubhyascha kripa sindubhyaye bacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Okay. Let us continue now. This is Krishna speaking. Text number 24. Krishna Kumar, are you coming back? I can't live without you. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. What is Krishna referring to? Yes, what did Yashoda do? What name did Krishna incur? Damodar. Hey, Rasikbhai. Very good. Everyone say Damodar. We spend the whole month meditating on that pastime. It's that special. A whole month in Gaudiya Vaishnava. Remember, we chant the song twice a day, getting absorbed in that pastime. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. Here is the understanding of yoga maya. It's maya, but it's yoga maya, meaning it's divine. We're in a different kind of maya. We're an illusion. We're really an illusion. Thinking that I'm this body, thinking that I'm a man, or this is real illusion. Yashoda is in yoga maya, spiritual or transcendental illusion, thinking that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is her son, and has no concept that he's God. Ah, that's transcendental illusion. All right, let's continue. Text number 25. I just keep feeling better and better every moment. Thank you for blessing. Thank you all for praying for me, by the way. Thank you. You saved my life. I owe you. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. So just think, if you can achieve the status of being a cowherd boy, you can play with Krishna like this. Text 26. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. Krishna is revealing. This is Krishna speaking. He's revealing to us through this Chaitanya. This is very confidential. You're not going to find this in too many places. This kind of understanding where God is revealing His innermost thoughts. It's one of the reasons why I love Chaitanya Charitamrita, why I love Krishna consciousness and these bhakti scriptures. You can't find this anywhere else. It's very, very special. Purport. According to the Upanishads, all living entities are dependent on the supreme living entity, the personality of Godhead. As it is said in the Katha Upanishad, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vididhati Kaman. I'll never forget that verse. That was the first verse I heard Prabhupada explain. If I close my eyes, I can still remember November 1973. I'm in New York. I'm a brahmachari in the temple. I'm in the front by the deities. Prabhupada's Vyasasan is in the back. And Prabhupada is explaining this line. I can still picture it. Srila Prabhupada ki. One eternal living entity supports all the other eternal living entities. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead maintains all the other living entities, they remain subordinate to the Lord. Just like my father used to say, if you're living in my house, you will do what I say. He was maintaining me. I wasn't maintaining him. He was maintaining me. So, fathers, now you have your danda. If the children ever get on the line, hey, I am maintaining. They remain subordinate to the Lord, even when joined with Him in the reciprocation of loving affairs. But in the course of exchanging transcendental love of the highest purity, sometimes the subordinate devotees tries to dominate over the predominator. One who lovingly engages with the Supreme Lord as if he were his mother or father sometimes supersedes the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, his fiancée or lover sometimes supersedes the position of the Lord. But such attempts are exhibitions of the highest love. So you see this in the pastimes of Radha, Krishna, and the gopis. This is where you see this. Where there is this superseding. But the key element, it's based on love. On the mundane plane, sometimes husband and wife can have that also. Where one supersedes, but it's based on love. That's the key element, as we say in America, love makes the world go round. It's love. That's the key. Once that's there, everything's okay. But such attempts are exhibitions of the highest love. Only out of pure love does the subordinate lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead chide him. The Lord, enjoying this chiding, takes it very nicely. The exhibition of natural love makes such activities very enjoyable. In worship of the Supreme Lord, with veneration, there is no manifestation of such natural love, because the devotee considers the Lord his superior. Just like, I'll give you an example. You're not going to go to your boss and start chiding the boss. You're not going to go to your employer and supersede your position and tell your boss what he should. Are you going to do that? I don't think so. Right? With the boss, you are very respectful. Otherwise, what could happen? Pink slip. Yes. So with the boss, or say, Say you have to go to court. There's the judge. How are you going to react to the judge? Hey, judge, what do you think you're talking about? Right? You've probably seen so many, I've seen so many of those lawyer judge shows. When you go in that court, you're told, speak when spoken to. And if you get out of line, all right, bailiff, come. You can, in the court, you cannot supersede your position. And what to speak of? God, the supreme judge. You say you have to stand before Yamaraj, right? How are you going to behave? Many of Prabhupada's disciples, Prabhupada had this kind of effect. I know for me. Prabhupada was smaller than me in physical height. But Prabhupada's purity and his strength, you would look down. You wouldn't try to look in his face. You would look down. You'll see there are so many pictures. Prabhupada walking. You would be very cautious to look Prabhupada in the face. Because I had the experience. He could look right through you. And he could see everything. So with the superior, respect and veneration is there. But like the gopis, the residents of Vrindavan, they have reached such an intimate level. They can relate to God now on a completely different platform. Let us continue. Regulative principles in devotional service are meant for those who have not invoked their natural love of Godhead. One natural love arises, all regulative methods are surpassed, and pure love is exhibited between the Lord and the devotee. Although on such a platform of love, the devotee sometimes appears to predominate over the Lord or transgress regulative principles, such dealings are far more advanced than ordinary dealings through regulative principles with awe and veneration. A devotee who is actually free from all designations due to complete attachment in love for the Supreme exhibits spontaneous love for Godhead, which is always superior to the devotion of regulative principles. The informal language used between lover and beloved is indicative of pure affection. When devotees worship their beloved as the most venerable object, spontaneous loving sentiments are observed to be lacking. I can explain it like this. A husband and wife, after being married for so many years, right? They speak to each other in a certain way. Friendly, loving. Now, one day, the husband comes home and starts dealing with his wife, my dear Mataji, ma'am. The wife's going, "Why is he talking so straight? I'm your wife. I'm not your mother. I'm not just another woman." You follow my point? The language indicates the depth of the relationship. Okay, that was my point there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A neophyte devotee who follows the Vedic instructions that regulate those who lack pure love of Godhead may superficially seem more exalted than a devotee in spontaneous love of Godhead. But in fact, such spontaneous pure love is far superior to regulated devotional service. Such pure love of Godhead is always glorious in all respects, more so than reverential devotional service rendered by a less affectionate devotee. And let's do the next two verses. So keep in mind, Krishna is revealing his mind in this section. Taking these pure devotees, spontaneous love means that there is no cause other than love of the person. It just, there's no rhyme or reason. It just springs automatic, spontaneous. This is exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan. As opposed to spontaneous is the regulative devotional service. On the regulative platform, I don't have this spontaneous inclination to serve, but I do it because I'm ordered by Guru, by Sadhu, and by Shastra. That is the difference. Mother Yashoda, Radharani, and all the residents of Vrindavan, by nature, have this spontaneous willingness to do anything for Krishna. We are on this platform of regulative bhakti. And therefore, the spiritual master gives instructions. And because we are attached to this material body, then we're told, now you have to do this, now you have to do this, now you should do this, now you should do this, now you should do this. When you get to this platform of spontaneous devotional service, nobody has to tell you to do anything. You automatically want to serve Krishna in so many ways. It's the first, exactly. Thank you for understanding. Thank you. Yes, because this is a very good point. You cannot jump. It cannot be if you try to do it artificially, then it becomes sahajya. It becomes a disturbance. So yes, and this is exactly pointed out by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that by strictly following the rules and regulations of what is called sadhana vaidhi bhakti, rules and regulations, by doing that continuously, gradually, your spontaneous love and affection will manifest. It's there, but right now it's covered. And why is it covered? Because we're attached to this material body. Once we become free from bodily identification, once there is, like he was saying in his class, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, right? Once you become free from all kinds of lust, anger, and greed, the three gates leading to hell, then the pure soul manifests. By nature, the soul is spontaneously attracted to Krishna. The pure soul, by nature. This is another item of Lord Chaitanya's core philosophy. That, and the exact phrase, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. The eternal perfection of the living entity is love of God. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. So the soul, every soul, in its pure, unadulterated state, is naturally, spontaneously attracted to Krishna. But somehow or other, we've lost that. We have become covered over. The whole process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is to get rid. What does Lord Chaitanya say? Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Cleanse the mirror of the heart. That's the first instruction of Lord Chaitanya. Cleanse the mirror of the heart. How do you do that? Shravanam, kirtanam. Just do that more and more. Ladies, you know, I did this the 2 weeks I was absent. I cleaned my bhajan kutir where I live. My bhajan kutir is my office and my studio. So I did a, according to my wife, I didn't do a full job, but I did a good, I cleaned it up. My wife is fanatic. She keeps saying, this place needs more clean. I said, what? Yes. So I clean things, right? And you're amazed. Once you start cleaning, that's when you realize how dirty something is. When you haven't cleaned in a while, you don't. But once you start, oh my God. My wife sometimes say, look at this dust. Why are you keeping your bhajan kutir so filthy? You're supposed to be a brahmana. So she chastises me out of love. I don't get upset. Yeah, workplaces are very, very difficult to keep clean. Workplaces. So the idea is, once you start cleaning, is when you realize how dirty. So the same way with our hearts. Once we actually start practicing hearing and chanting, then you realize, oh my God, I have so much. But that's a good sign. Because if you were totally in illusion, you would think, I'm okay. Who are you talking to? I don't need religion. Right? You've met people like that. They're totally covered. Okay, let's finish up. Taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways, unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. So when Krishna comes, does he come alone? Krishna himself comes once in a day of Brahma. But before he comes, his associates, just like was the other day, President Obama came to Southern California, flew into Los Angeles. Did he come alone? Uh-uh. There's the CIA, FBI, the whole entourage is there. He's not going to just take, you know, economy flight on American Airlines, right? No. He comes in his own jet, right? Air Force One, a whole entourage. And there's people there before he gets there, checking out the scene. And then say you're at the airport and you look suspicious. Come with me. Right? So God, when he comes, his whole FBI, CIA entourage. And who are they known as? Gopis, Gopas, his friends, his whole entourage comes. Lord Krishna, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, educates his devotees to develop progressively to the stage of pure devotional service. That's your point. Progressively. So, Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that by strict, rigid execution of the regulative principles, gradually you come to the stage of spontaneous. Thus he appears periodically as a devotee to take part in various wonderful activities depicted in his sublime philosophy and teachings. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky, and in all of them, the Lord accepts the service rendered by his eternal devotees in a reverential mood. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna presents his most confidential pastimes as he enjoys them in his transcendental realm. Such pastimes are so attractive that they attract even the Lord, and thus he relishes them in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Now, if you, with your permission, can I speak something on Lord Shiva? All right. Oh, thank you very much. So just give me a second here. Everybody chant japa. One more time. One more time. So, last night at Kundan Loka, one of my favorite places to hear and chant, we were hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam all about Lord Shiva. And I didn't finish the narration of those sections. So here is from the sixth canto. So please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So in the sixth canto, there's an exchange between Lord Shiva and his wife. At that time, she is known as Parvati. So listen. Shukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, in the presence of the great sage Narada, the demons, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, and Lord Shiva's personal associates, Lord Shiva, who is most powerful, spoke to his wife Parvati while they all listened. So here's what Lord Shiva said. My dear, beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, everyone say, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness. The scenario is there was a king, Chitraketu, and after chanting the mantra that we just chanted, Om Namo Bhagavate, he did that for 7 days and seven nights, continuous. Lord Narayan appeared to him and blessed him. And Chitraketu, as a side benefit, was given rule over a planet, the planet of the Vidyadharas. And like Obama, had his own Air Force One, his own aerial city that would travel all around. So once he was flying through the skies, and he saw Lord Shiva and Parvati was sitting on his lap. And Lord Shiva was in front of some rishis. So Chitraketu said, whoa, look at this, right? A husband and wife doesn't behave like that in public, right? So he was like, look at Lord Shiva. So Parvati cursed Chitraketu. Who do you think you are? You don't know the glories of my... You fall down right now. Become a demon. So Chitraketu... Who did he just previously get benedicted? Lord Narayan, right? He could have counteracted. He could have nullified. He could have cursed her. Instead, he said, yes, mother, I accept your curse. This is why Lord Shiva is saying, have you now seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Now he continues, devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, never fear any condition of life. For them, heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. Why? Which means... Okay, what else? That's good. I agree. What other reason would there be that devotees are not interested in heavenly planets, liberation, or hellish planets? Yes. Yes, yes. In other words, these things, compared to love of God, insignificant, material, inferior. Right? Even liberation that Lord Shiva is returning to is the merging liberation, which itself is temporary. Devotees are not interested in that. But you answered it correct. I'll give you dings. Very good. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. And a devotee knows, even if I go to hell, I can still do service. That's how Prabhupada came to America. No, it's true. When Prabhupada arrived in America, he thought it was hell. He wrote like that. He's in his poem was, "My Lord, why have you brought me to this horrible place? New York." And trust me, where Prabhupada lived, that part of New York is hell. The Bowery, I know, I know what it's like. I've been there. I've walked those streets. So when Prabhupada wrote that poem, he said, why have you brought me to this horrible place? Where did he had just come from? Vrindavan. So for a transcendentalist like Prabhupada, New York, Vrindavan, there. Right? Just like our good friend Veena Gupta, right? She's anxious always to get back to Vrindavan. She only spends a little time here. She wants to get back. So yes, Lord Shiva is saying, for such devotees are interested only in the service, and that's when Prabhupada's prayer says, "But my Lord, you must have some service for me, otherwise why would you have brought me here?" Alright, Lord Shiva continues, "This magnanimous Chitraketu is a dear devotee of the Lord." Yes, a devotee knows who's another devotee. One who is a devotee, one of the reasons why he's a devotee is that he can recognize another devotee. Somebody who is not a devotee, who thinks they're the greatest devotee, cannot see anybody else being a devotee other than them. Right? You've seen people like that. Right? But one who is actually a devotee can see, oh, there's another devotee. How's that? Humility. Lord Shiva, he is the topmost devotee. Is he all powerful? You bet. Don't mess. But can Lord Shiva be the most humble? Yes. Similarly, I am also very dear to Lord Narayan. Lord Shiva says about himself, "Therefore, no one should be astonished to see the activities of the most exalted devotees of Narayan, for they are free from attachment and envy. They are always peaceful and they are equal to everyone." Do you want to hear more about Lord Shiva? Okay. Very good. Me too. I want to hear more too. But I need to do something.